Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come before y'all this morning. David had asked 2 or 3 weeks ago if I would be willing to come and fill in while he was going to Wisconsin on a mission trip up there where we're involved in starting a new church up there. So I thought, well, I will go ahead and I prayed about it and he prayed about it, and so you wound up with me. Now, I'm old school, so I don't have any slides. I don't have a meme of the week, but I was doing a devotion about a month ago or so, and I get a devotion every day from Jack Graham, who pastors Prestonwood Church in Plano, and this came out one day, so this will maybe be a little humor. I heard about a man who, after several years of marriage, came to his pastor and said, "Pastor, I've got a problem I need to talk to you about." He said, "We got married, moved to Singletree, Arkansas, and prayed that God would give us a baby." So he did. "Then we moved to Twin Falls, Idaho. We prayed again for a child. But this time, God gave us twins." He said, "Then we moved again to Three Rivers, Pennsylvania. And guess what, Pastor? He gave us triplets." And the pastor said, "Well, hey, that sounds super. That's wonderful, son. What's your problem?" "Well," the man said, "I just got word that I'm being transferred to Thousand Oaks, California." So we'll put a little humor in it there, maybe. But I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you all for coming. I know some of you probably said, "Well, you know, hey, this will be an opportunity for me to take a week off from church." But I do appreciate you being here. And, you know, it is wonderful that we do serve a wonderful Jesus. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "The Word tells us that love never fails, love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, and love always perseveres." You know, we don't hear a whole lot about perseverance this day and time. But when it comes to receiving from God, you know, we do it by faith, but something almost as important as faith is perseverance. It'll make a difference between success and failure in your life. We all have an opportunity to come across situations in our life when the easy thing for us to do is to give up and say, "I can't do that, I can't handle that, but I'm not going to go on." But we know what God's Word has to say in those situations which we encounter. So what we have to do is to be able to overcome those situations in our life, and we have to persevere or go through sometimes some things we really don't want to, some things that are a little difficult for us, but we go through them anyway. Turn to 2 John. You know, I get excited sometimes when I read in small books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. There's so much to gain for our everyday living as our Christian walk. 2nd John, verse 8. And as I say, I'm old school. I don't have it up there. I expect you, you know, if you need a Bible, there'll be one in front of you if you want to turn to the Scripture. Verse 8, "Watch out for what you do not lose, what you have worked for that you may be rewarded fully. In these days of uncertainty, the important thing that we need to do is do not stop what we know to do with the Word of God." In Galatians, Paul tells us to continue to do all things we have learned to do. Don't forget to do what you know to do. Act on what we know to do. It really boils down to what comes out of our mouth. You know, and sometimes We have to watch what comes out of our mouth. Our thinking and our speaking is what shapes the way that we live and what happens in our life. Think and speak what God's Word has to say about the situation and not about what the situation dictates. No matter what you're facing in life, you run across a situation, you can either let that situation dictate it or you can go to God's Word and find a scripture that will back up what you need to stand against. We've come too far in this situation, so we have to change a lot of times what we're thinking and what words are coming out of our mouth. We've come too far to give up now. Winning is the result of perseverance. Perseverance is power. It has the courage to refuse the lie of Satan that says that the Word is not working for me. It knows that God's Word never fails. Perseverance will not draw back in fear, but it will press forward in faith until we have the answer. The thing that we have to learn is how desperate are we to win? The difference between winning and losing is perseverance. If there was an easier way, we would do it. But we have to do and press on to finish whatever we start. John is saying here to take care. Do not throw away what you have labored for so long to do. A lot of times people give up on a situation that they've worked hard for a number of years. They've dealt with the situation and they're getting close to the victory and they give up. If they had only continued for another day or two, they would have seen the winning of that particular situation. I was looking the other day on Twitter and I saw a tweet from Jensen Franklin, who is a pastor in Georgia. He says, the closer you get to your dreams, the more pressure you will feel. Don't give up. God always finishes what He starts. How can we continue to see the victory? You know, we discussed this morning in our class this morning when we were dealing in 1 Thessalonians, talking about a different subject, but it still goes back to these things, that we don't stop reading God's Word. We don't stop studying God's Word. We don't stop giving. We don't stop praying. We don't stop doing what we need to do. We don't stop confessing what God's Word says in that particular situation or problem that we're dealing with. I was watching TBN recently, and there was someone on there that was saying, you know, no matter where you are, you know, you have an opportunity where, you know, you might have doubts and unbelief, and it's kind of like, you know, let's use an example where we have like your automobile. When you're about to run out of gas, what are you going to do? You're going to fill it up. Well, what happens to your spirit man when it gets low on the Word? We need to fill it up. So what we need to do then is to take some time, get into the Word, listen to some CDs, listen to a podcast, listen to Christian music. You know, those things can build up our Word level in our bodies or in our spirit man. So that's what we need to do. You know, around the house, as you're doing errands, whether, you know, whatever you're doing, you can turn on a CD, podcast, turn on Christian music. I do it a lot of times when I'm out working in the yard. I'll turn on some Christian music. I have some tapes, some albums that I have on my phone where I can listen to those as I'm working. It also makes the work go by a whole lot easier too. But we need to keep that word continually going into us day and night, because we're in a battle. And we're in a battle, and Satan doesn't want us to win. So how can we overcome him? Putting more word into us. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "Why quit now?" Okay. Good. We don't want to quit, because we want to move on and do what God has for us to do. Uncertainty makes us want to give up. A good example is that if you know someone who was real strong in the Lord and they got weary, they gave up and thought, "Hey, I just can't handle this anymore," and they just quit. How does that affect you? You can either look at that situation, but, you know, you can't base your faith on what happened to someone else. You have to base it on yourself. So it comes down, how desperate are you to win in those situations? Excuse me. We have to continue to pray and speak what God's word has to say over that situation. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul is sharing here with the church at Thessalonica about idleness. We talked about that this morning too in our small group. We hear that some among you, I'm going to pick up in verse 11, I'm sorry. I want to get the whole context here. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Some people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. Verse 13. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Never tire of doing what is right. Speaking the word and not the problem. The word tells us in Proverbs 18:21 that life and death is in the power of the tongue. What we have to say is very important, and what we speak will come about. We need to make sure that what comes out of our mouth lines up with what God's word has to say and what the word has to say about that particular situation that you're dealing with. God has not given us 100 promises. There's more than promises in this book. And he's given all of these. Is it just for us to enjoy and read? No, those are there for us to stand on. When we encounter any type of situation in our life, we need to go to the word and see it. Okay, if you go out and you buy a mixer, you women, if you want to go out and buy a new mixer or blender or something like that, you get a little piece of paper with it. It gives you a manual. Same thing if you buy a lawnmower, you're going to get an owner's manual. If you buy a car, you get an owner's manual. Here is your owner's manual. This is what we use to make it through life. This is our owner's manual, the Bible. God has given us his promises so that we can boldly come before him in each and every situation that we encounter, so that we can declare and have the victory over different things, over health, hope, abundant life, whatever. I heard a pastor one time say that if you're always talking, talk the word. Been some years ago, I got an email, and it kind of shows what different individuals in the Bible persevered, even though they had other areas of their life that they struggle with, you know. And the next time that you feel like God cannot use you, just remember. Some of these are pretty unusual, but Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying. And Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced many times. Zacchaeus was too small. Timothy had an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. You know, all these people from the Bible did not live perfect lives. We're not perfect. But they never gave up on God. They always looked and focused on God and what was ahead for each one of their lives. So we don't have any more excuses, because we can look back and see what happened to them. And, you know, many of them are also, that I mentioned, are written in Hebrews, which we call the, in Hebrews, on the area of Hebrews, talking about the different people in the Bible, and talks about, you know, that's referred to as the Hall of Faith, because these people had the faith to go ahead and to continue on. Speaking of that, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. As we look at Moses in the Hall of Faith, here in Hebrews, we learn about his perseverance. Hebrews 11, starting with verse 24. By faith, Moses' parents had hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses persevered under very difficult circumstances. You know, if you read about the accounts of Moses, then you'll find that he went through all kinds of trials, all kinds of tests, but he remained focused on what God had for him. And this was the way that he continued to go, is because of his faith, because of his focus on remaining with God. As we keep our focus on Jesus and all that he's done for each one of us, then we can see those victories coming in our life. Many times we're our own worst enemy. We will blame everything and everybody else, but when the truth comes down, we're profoundly influenced by what we say about ourselves. Proverbs 6, verse 2 says, "We are snared by the words of our mouth." We say things like, "I can't do it. It's too hard. I knew I wouldn't get that job when I applied it." We are using those words that are coming out of our mouth, and they either will make us victorious or break us. Do not lose heart when doing the right thing. If you want to win, you have to persevere. Drop on down to verse 39, Hebrews 11:39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we surrounded ourselves by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So here we're seeing in God's word, he's saying to run with perseverance the race that he's marked for us. So what is the race that God has called you to? The race to continue on, the race to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around you. We need not be where we're not able to share the good news of Jesus. We can see that there are many people who could have been mentioned here with their experiences here in Hebrews, but the writer of Hebrews uses this to encourage us to continue on doing what God has called each one of us to do. And that is to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, if we look back through the Bible and we see, you know, there's not an immediate, in other words, we don't see an immediate result a lot of times. It takes time for God to get everything in place for those things to come about in our lives. Jesus told us in the book of Revelations in chapter 2 that both the churches at Ephesus in verse 3 and Thyatira in verse 19, that they had persevered and had endured hardship in his name, and that they did not grow weary, which ties us back to the scripture that we started out with in 2 John. I had started, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. I'd been longer than that. Studying, I've always looked at the book of Revelations and thought, well, hey, you know, I just kind of said that's at the end of the book and I'm not going to even do anything with it. And then the Lord convicted me on that. So I started about, as I say, 4 or 5 weeks ago, started a study in Revelations, and I had gotten a book from a commentary from Chuck Swindoll, and also had Les and Nancy had shared CD, DVDs of his. And you know, I think I'd gotten through chapter 2. So, you know, it takes a long time if you really do an in-depth study on it and try to figure out what God is trying to share. But anyway, the thing that he was sharing here, and this is what was real interesting to me, is in the Book of Revelations in the second chapter, when he was talking about the church at Ephesus and the church at Thyatira, was about how they were always trying to go on and to do what God had called them to do, that they persevered through everything. And then one of the statements of Chuck Swindoll was concerning the church at Ephesus, he says, Christ complimented the church for toiling in good deeds, for enduring patiently in trials, standing against false prophets. The picture of this church is it's a diligent church, it's conscientious, it's industrious, and it has an involved congregation. No procrastination, no empty promises. The church at Ephesus kept busy caring for the sick, sheltering the homeless, feeding the hungry, visiting the prisoners, and clothing widows and orphans. And a similar example of perseverance was also mentioned about the church at Thyatira. You know, and as we look, you know, we're trying to persevere. We're trying to go forth in what God has got for each one of us. I'm a big sports fan, as most of you probably know, and I take a lot of my analogies out of the sports field. So when you have a ball game, no matter whether it's a baseball game, a football game, basketball game, what normally happens after the game is over? You know, you'll get some sports commentator to come in and interview. Now, who are they going to interview? They're going to interview the winner, right? You know, the loser, they don't care very much about the loser. They're just concerned about interviewing the winner. The winner and not the loser. The winner is the one who gets the party, the good times, and not the loser. So how desperate are we to win? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When we encounter those situations, we need to run to the word and not from the word. Hearing the word will drive away fear. Overcome the habits of quitting because of temporary setbacks. Refuse to let them knock you out of the game. You may lose a battle every now and then, but you'll not lose the war, because God wins in the end. We can always look at the end of Revelations and we see that he wins. So we drive away fear of failure, drive away discouragement, drive away doubt. The word does not change. Just remember where you do, where do all these fears come from? Where do the fears come from? Think about it. Most of them is right up here. It's in our thinking. I had a pastor years ago I was listening to, and he says it's our stinking thinking that gets us in problems. And it's what we allow that thinking to come about. We need a chance to change the thinking and put our thoughts on the scriptures that relate to overcoming the fear. Turn to James chapter 5. We're in Hebrews, so it's just the next one over there. Now, this is a reference to Job, and this is the only reference in the New Testament about Job, although there is a quote from Job in 1 Corinthians. James chapter 5, verse 11. Let's go ahead and start at the beginning of the paragraph there on verse 10. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So here we're seeing that in verse 10 and in verse 11 is both mentioned about perseverance. And if you remember back in the life of Job, he had a lot of, he was very wealthy, had a lot of things. He lost everything. Well, you know, he wasn't a very patient man. He was really frustrated because of this. But because of his perseverance, he wound up with more at the very end than he had at the beginning. Because of his perseverance. Let's go over to the Old Testament in Psalms 5, verse 11. Psalms 5, verse 11. If we trust and rejoice in God, we should do it in a positive way when we say it. Verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you will bless the righteous. You surround them with a shield of favor. When we're trusting in God, we are high in spirits and we're really expected to win. How many of us are trusting in God this morning? If we're trusting in Him, then what does the Word say? If you take refuge in Him, let them sing for joy. Sing for joy. And by singing for joy there, then it also mentions that in verse 12, for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous, you surround them with a shield of favor. We've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a shield of favor around us. No matter who we encounter or what we're doing, that favor of God is on us. Sometimes it might not appear that way, but God's favor has a shield around each and every one of us. Go over a couple of pages to Psalms 9, verse 9. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in time of trouble. When we are trusting God, then we have that stronghold that we have. You know, we look at different situations. We take our refuge in the time of bad economy. David is making good confessions in bad times here. Be diligent to protect your heart. What comes out of our mouth determines if we're going to be a winner. If the situation around us is getting more negative, then what we need to do is to increase the amount of positive confessions that we're making. If you want to win, you can't get out of here and start talking about the problems. We have to start speaking the victory over the problems. I'm not saying if you're in a situation that there's not, you know, you got a situation that there's some things that are hurting. I'm not saying you don't say that. What I'm saying is that you use God's word to overcome those circumstances. So, do you want to win? I think we all want to win. Winning is God's will for our life. Winning is God's will for you today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life. Winning is the ability to overcome temptation to quit. Quitting is not an option. God did not create us to fail. As I mentioned earlier about, there was a coach years ago by the name of Vince Lombardi who was with the Green Bay Packers. He was one of the winningest coaches in the NFL at that time. He had a statement. He said, winning is a habit. Unfortunately, losing is too. So then you look, and I thought, well, you know, that's interesting. In the last 10 years in the National Football League, one team has lost, has a habit of losing, because they've played 161 games and they've only won 42. They've lost 161 games. I mean, excuse me, 119 games. So it's a habit. You have to break those habits and turn it around. Same thing, winners win because of a habit of winning. I'm a little older than most of y'all, a whole lot older than a lot of you. But, you know, I remember the Yankees. They always won the World Series. That was just, you know, they got into a habit. We need to create a habit of winning. This can be done because of what God's Word has to say about our situation. If we change what's happening on the inside of us and start speaking what God's Word has to say about our situation, then we're going to see a change on the outside. God remains faithful to His Word. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Paul has given us instructions here in the first chapter of 2 Peter, telling us what we have been given and that we should exercise our faith and continue to develop the area of our life. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given everything we need for life and godliness, and through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter tells us to add these different things, areas. You know, we can go through all of them, but we went through them at once. So goodness, knowledge, perseverance, self-control, you know, in verse 10, Peter tells us that to do these things, you will never fail. If you allow those areas to operate in your life, God's Word says that you will never fail. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given us the choice to be a winner or a loser, and I choose to be a winner. Henry Ford, who started Ford Motor Company, made a statement. He said, if you believe you can do something, or if you believe you can't do something, you're right. Because if you believe it, in other words, if you believe you can do it, you can do it. If you believe you can't do it, you're not going to do it. It's based on what you believe. This all goes back to what his mother taught him when he was a young boy. His mother told him that he could do anything or be anybody he wanted to be. As far as perseverance is going, I think a good example is, and I had asked permission for this before anybody thinks something. I'd asked for David and Allison if I could share with y'all about how perseverance operated when they were dealing with the marathon. You know, they decided about a year or so ago that God was leading them, felt like God wanted them to do a marathon. Okay, I asked this morning in class, I said, how far is a marathon? And they told me it's 26 miles. 26.2 miles. You know, that doesn't sound... Can you run from here to Comanche? Now that makes it a little more real, because that's about 26 miles to Comanche. So, you know, you look at that and you think, well, hey, that is a long way. Anyway, so they started out doing their training. They started off real slow, built up their strength, built up their stamina. Along the way, I'm sure that they had some cases where they thought, well, hey, you know, I'd like to sleep in this morning. But no, you've got to continue to train. And, you know, they continued to persevere through lots of things, lots of difficulties. Different things came up that would have been a lot easier for them to have just given up and said, well, hey, you know, I don't believe I'm going to do this. Then they were coming along. Then they did a half a marathon somewhere along the way. Then it came the last month. They were getting ready for the final preparation. 2 weeks before the marathon, David hurts his foot. Then, you know, you think, well, am I going to do it or not? They had made a decision. They had set a goal. They knew what they wanted to do. They were persevering through different things all along the line. But he got to where he could do it. So they started out on the marathon. They were both, you know, and then along the way, what happens? Allison gets cramps in her leg. You know, it's easy to say, well, hey, you know, I'm through. I'm tired. I'm quitting. No, they did not give up. They persevered through that situation and went on and completed the marathon. Probably, you know, I'm sure it was a record for them because they completed it. And that's the important thing to remember, is we can take this example and apply it to our life and remember that if we continue to do what the Word has to say, and if we continue to keep our mouth in agreement with what God's Word has to say, then we'll be an overcomer in the situation, just like David and Allison were with the marathon. Okay, I'm going to go back and read that one more time. You don't have to turn there. In 2 John, verse 8, watch out for that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. So we don't need to give up on confessing God's word. We don't need to give up on acting on God's word. We don't need to give up on reading God's word. We don't need to give up on fellowshipping with other believers, because what does God's word say about that? Do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. That's what we're doing this morning. We're assembling ourselves together. Don't give up on what you know is right. And I always like to throw in one, don't give up on giving. Because many of you didn't happen to know my wife, but she's the one that taught me how to give. She was always giving. She was a giver, and she taught me how to give. And, you know, God honors that. Don't quit, because we've come too far to quit now. Okay, let's go back over to Hebrews again, chapter 10, verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insults and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of the property, because you knew that you yourself was better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that you have done the will of God. You will receive what He has promised. The writer of Hebrews is sharing with us here that we need to persevere and to do the will of God, and that we will receive the promises of God. As we have looked at some of the scriptures of perseverance and how we can apply them to our life, we need to continue to do what God has called us each one to do. We need to be diligent in that calling. I'm going to finish up in James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish the work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack... Oh, excuse me. That's where I was going to stop. Okay. The writer of Hebrews here is sharing with us that we need to persevere so that we can do the will of God in each one of our lives. And we will receive the promises of God. As we have looked at some of the scriptures dealing with perseverance, how we can apply them to our lives, we need to continue what God has called us to do, to continue to see what we have to do. Be diligent to the calling that God has for you to do. Okay, and then in verse 12 it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials, because he has stood the test, and he will receive the crown of life that God has promised those who love him." As we can see here in James, he's giving us guidance that when our faith is tested, when we've been tempted, that we can develop perseverance. As we persevere and walk in faith, then the word here tells us that we will be blessed and we will inherit eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and magnify you, Father. I thank you, Father, come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. God, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, that as we are able to continue to do what you've called us to do, that, Lord, that we will persevere, that we will see the goal that is ahead of us, that we will continue to seek your word for each and every situation that we encounter. And God, because of your word, we know that we will be victorious. In Jesus' name.